You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome back to the show. Bit of an overcast, bit of a wet Melbourne morning. So might be more delays down at Melbourne Park. A crazy old day there yesterday. And always a pleasure to speak to Louise Fleming on the show. And she joins us this morning. Hello, Louise.
G'day, Jules. How are you?
Very well. That was a crazy old day yesterday. That was Melbourne in a tee, really. Hot, off for hot weather, come back, rains, matches finish at 2 o'clock in the morning. That was a crazy old day.
It was. It was more hectic inside the players' lounge and the players' restaurant than anywhere else. It was people just crashing in everywhere. No, it was difficult for the players. Certainly it was difficult for Thanasi Kokkinakis too. I think I saw him walk out through the tunnel to go to Kia Arena only about 5 times.
Yeah, that's very disruptive. It didn't affect his tennis, though, because he's almost across the line. What did you make of the performance of Fabio Fognini so far? Didn't look like he was giving it 100% at times out there last night.
No, he did look a little flat. I think he might have settled the equation before he went out on court and thought, can I serve bigger than Thanasi? Nah. Can I hit bigger? Nah. Am I going to beat the guy? Probably not. But I'll give it a 50-50 shot. So, no, he's just basically not able to match up with Thanasi at the moment. Thanasi's looking hot, serving huge, using that forehand. Now, he looks amazing, red hot. Let's hope he can keep that energy, you know, for the full 2 weeks.
Well, it's a big one in the round two. Assuming he gets through, he's 2 sets and a break up on Fabio Fognini when he resumes, whenever time that will be today. But it's Andy Murray next up. What a phenomenal athlete he is, Andy Murray. 4 years ago, he was pretty much done. He's got a metallic hip and he comes out and beats the semi-finalist from last year in 5 sets. That was an amazing performance and a fantastic match for a first round match.
It was absolutely amazing. I was sitting up in the top kind of bunkers there of Rod Laver Arena, and I couldn't move. The match was so good. I mean, inside the stadium, the noise, the crowd involvement, it was phenomenal. I mean, you got to say, I feel a little bit for Berrettini. He had a match point. He just dumped a backhand. The whole court was open. I don't know what happened. He just kind of lost his mind for a little bit. Murray moved to the forehand. And then after that, I think he kind of, I think that stayed in the back of his mind. But Murray, I mean, after 2 sets down, I was thinking there's no way, that he can do this at 2-all. He just kept going. I couldn't believe it. Yeah, great match. He's the fittest guy. He walked past me after the match and I said to him, you better have the longest the longest ice bath and the longest massage to be ready for the next match. It was phenomenal.
So if you can beat a player like Matteo Berrettini in the opening round, and obviously Kokkinakis will be a fantastic match as well, but how much damage can he do at this tournament? I mean, not many people would expect he can do much at this stage of his career, but how much damage could he do if he gets on a bit of a roll?
Well, you just don't know. I mean, he's just one of those guys that you've got to beat him. I mean, he loves the game. I think more than anything, just to watch Andy out there, he just loves competing. I mean, you don't go through everything, you know, two hip operations and trying to get fit. He's a big guy. I feel like he's a bit slimmer this year as well. But I think he's maybe just a bit slimmer on the chest. His legs are massive, so he's been putting in the work. Yeah, I just think he's one of those guys that absolutely loves what he does. But the problem is that if he gets through to, the quarters, then he's up against maybe a Casper Ruud or someone like that. On the other side, or a Fritz Taylor. And then on the other side, if he gets through to the semis, well, he's up against Novak. I mean, yeah, there's some tough matches he's got to play. But, I could see him getting through to the quarters as long as his body's going to hold up.
Which would be an amazing story, given he's got a great record here at Melbourne Park. The only thing he never done is been able to manage to win the actual tournament. Talking the Australian Open with Louise Plumbing. Just going back to the heat yesterday, Louise. Jordan Thompson wasn't happy, sort of saying, look, what's going on? I've been out here when it's hot a bit. Have the players really got any grounds to complain, given it is a reading, and once that reading reaches a certain level, players off. So, to a degree, isn't it pretty black and white?
Yeah, look, I think it is. And maybe because we haven't had this issue recently, you know, where it's been, you know, gotten to the number five. So there's a rating of 1 to 5. And once it gets to 5, 4's a warning. 5 is you have to leave the court. You've got to get off the court. So basically, once it got to that, it's a shutdown. They have to come off. They've had medical kind of, you know, conversations about what is really a medical kind of, you know, the player's heat, can they recover from a certain temperature? And the number is 38, I think. So it had to get back down to 35. And once it did, then play could resume. But, you know, this is stuff that they've worked with professors and medical doctors. And it's now, you know, that's locked in.
No problems for Novak last night. He got a great reception. I guess we've all been wondering what sort of reception he would get. He got a good one in Adelaide. He got a good one last night. But a bit strange in that first set when he walked off the court and seemed to be having a bit of an argument with the umpire. I think it was 3-2 in the first set. But I think it was just a good old-fashioned toilet break, wasn't it?
Yeah, probably. He's a funny guy, isn't he? Look, Novak's going to do whatever Novak does, but I think he barely was out there for long enough to really worry anything, worry himself, worry his team. He looks great, and I think the Australian crowd are going to love the fact that he's back. I think the match the other night with Nick just was a little warmer, a little, you know, just to see how the crowd are going to support Novak. But I think, look, he's basically, for me, he's probably the most informed player, and Australians love to watch great tennis, and I think it's, yeah, that's what they're really wanting. They want to see the best player here, so they're going to love watching Novak, no question about it. Not sure what he was kind of carrying on about, but, you know, he'll get the job done. There's no question about that.
Yeah, there's always something in one of Novak's matches. Looking at the Australians today, so I've got three that have got to complete their matches from last night. Just looking at the three Aussie men that won on day one, it looks tough on paper for all three today. Jason Kubler plays Karen Khachanov. John Millman takes on Daniil Medvedev, and Rinki Hitchikata takes on Stefanos Tsitsipas. Out of those three, who do you give the best chance of winning one of those matches?
Oh, wow. Well, Jason Kubler's just been on fire, hasn't he? Khachanov is tough. He's going to have to return really well, I think, in that match. But, like, he's just on fire. And I think he can just find another gear. And he's really confident at the moment. He's been really involved with Davis Cup and Leighton Hewitt. And I was speaking with him last week, and he just said, I just feel like I fit in now. He said, when I walk on the court, he said, I feel like I belong. And I think that's huge for Jason through everything he's been through. Rinki Hijikata and Stefanos, that's going to be a cracker, isn't it? He's got to do a couple of things really well out here. He's got to get his first serve in. He's got to be able to negate the huge serve from Stefanos and the big forehand. So he's got to put a lot of pressure trying to read the patterns of Stefanos. For me, he's got to get his backhand working down the line really well. And try to somehow then open up that court into the backhand, try to sneak in a little bit against Tsitsipas. I don't know how his body's going to be feeling. He's only 21, but yeah. He played 4 hours and 26 minutes the other day. So how is he going to turn around? That's a tough one. But again, he's got young legs, and I'd love to see him fighting. He won that set against Rafa. He loves the big stage. I think that could be an interesting one. Medvedev and Millman. Well, that's a tough ask. I think Medvedev's just a level too high for Millman. Also, he was out there for 4 hours and 5 minutes or something the other day against Usler. I think 3 or 4 years ago, Millman might have had the legs and a little bit more guts and determination to probably hurt Medvedev for a little bit. But you'd have to think Medvedev's just a little too good at the moment for John.
Great win from Kimberly Birrell yesterday. Olivia Gadecki back in action today. She plays the Ukrainian Marta Kostyuk, who beat Anna Anisimova in the first round. She's 61 in the world, where Gadecki's 199. Can Olivia back up that first round performance?
Look, she can. Marta Kostyuk, I watched her play last week in Adelaide, though. Doesn't have any variation. Moves extremely well. Plays like windscreen wipers. Can just keep going all day. Got that linear hitting. You know, great attitude. I think one thing from what I've noticed with Marta is that she's matured a little bit. Got a new coach. I think things are really going well for her. But the disruption's got to be from Olivia. The big serve from Olivia. Got an unbelievable solid backhand. She can hit through opponents. She slices well. I think she's got a chance. I mean, 199, hasn't played a lot. Obviously missed the Australian last year because she didn't want to have the COVID injections and that sort of thing. So, you know, a lot to learn for Olivia, but, gee, she's a great player. Kim Birrell, that was phenomenal. The match against Kaia Kanepi out on Kia Arena, amazing. I did that match, actually. And just to watch Kim, how she changed the game plan. For me, that just shows she's a thinking player. I mean, really great to see that. She broke down the big hitting from Kaia by just going high and heavy, mixing it up, waiting for the right ball, being patient. Then the heat raised, and I think Kaia said, this is too hot for me. I'm going to have to bow out in the third set.
So just with Kim, we know she's had, you know, her battles with injury. If she can get a good run with her body, what sort of player can she be? Are we talking a top 50 player here, a top 40? How much talent she got?
Look, I think she's one of those players that every time she walks on the court, Kim turns up. So for me, if she can compete day in, day out and really put in a good effort, as you said, as long as that body holds up, she's a player, I think she could hit kind of the top 80 mark around that. It's very hard then when you start getting into the bigger tournaments and you're playing, you know, the Goffs and the Pegulas and Siniakovas and the Swiateks, and you're playing against players like that week in, week out, and you're meeting them early. That's tough because they've all got big games, and Kim's really, you know, she's a defender. She's a counterpuncher. Not not to say that all the players out there every week have great weeks. So if Kim can put in a really solid performance every week, I think she can definitely crack the top 100 and stay around that 80 mark, given her body holding up.
And just finally, Louise, before I let you go, so we saw a really interesting matchup in round one between Andy Murray and Matteo Berrettini, which you sometimes get when these very highly credentialed players aren't seeded. We've got one today on the women's side. Emma Raducanu, who's obviously had her injury concerns going into the tournament, takes on Coco Gauff, who's coming in great form, and you'd have to say is a chance on the women's side. Any chance Emma Raducanu can pull off an upset here?
That'll be an interesting match, won't it? Who knows what's going on in the machinations of Emma Raducanu? We know how great she can play. We don't know whether her level is completely back to what it was at the US Open a couple of years ago. What we do know is that Coco Gauff is coming off a hot win in New Zealand. I think Coco will be able to mix it up a little bit too much. I think she can run too far. I think she's too consistent at the moment for Emma. Who knows? Can Coco go all the way? Well, she'd be up against Swiatek. She would run into Iga down at the semifinals level if she's to get through. And given that, she's never beaten her. It's 5-love to Iga in that situation. But Coco, look, I love watching her play. She's really flamboyant out there. She's a great asset for the WTA Tour because of her character. I think she's going to be just a little bit too consistent today for Emma.
Yeah, a lot of cracking matches again today. Louise, hopefully not too many interruptions. Hope you got your wet weather gear today. It's always great to catch up. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, mate. See you, Jill. See ya.
Bye-bye. Great to chat to Louise Fleming. She's a part of the SEN Tennis Commentary Team, of course, headed up by Brett Phillips. Amazing.